Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Exodus. How would you define this word, Exodus? It's interesting when you look this word up in the English dictionaries. If you look this word up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it gives this definition. A situation in which many people leave a place at the same time. In other words, a mass departure or immigration. Meanwhile, when you look it up in Oxford's dictionary, it says this. A situation in which many people leave a place at the same time. And lastly, if you use Google to look it up and go to dictionary.com, it says this. A going out, a departure, or immigration usually of a large number of people. So which definition is right? Which is wrong? How do you know? It's fascinating, this word Exodus actually is a compound Greek word. It's a word made up of two different Greek words. The first word is those first two letters, the word ek, which means out of. And the other four letters, autos, way. So it's out of the way. That's what it literally means. Therefore, as we celebrate this Transfiguration Sunday, we are going to look at three different exoduses under the overarching theme of this, God's way out. As we begin, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. O Lord God, our thoughts are not always your thoughts, and your ways are not always your ways. Direct us today as we hear your word through this word that you have given to me. Amen. To begin, we will look out at an Exodus. We'll talk about God's way out of Egypt. Around the 13th century before Christ, the children of Israel find themselves in Egypt. They're not in Egypt to take a pleasure cruise down the Nile River. No, they are there in that ancient East because their relative, known as Joseph, who had been sold into slavery, the one we heard about in last week's Old Testament reading, this favorite son of Jacob was sold by his brothers as a slave, and he was also known as a dreamer. However, God came to his rescue, because he provided for Joseph and his family and also the entire nation of Egypt from a devastating famine. He gave wisdom to Pharaoh, saying, here's a dream. And Joseph interpreted it, saying that we need to set aside some food for this upcoming famine. As a result, Pharaoh showed great honor and praise to Joseph and his family. And that's before he had gray hair or white hair in his head. Sorry, Chuck. But he was shown, his family was shown great favor and honor because of what Joseph had done for the nation of Egypt by the power of God. The ruler gave these Hebrews the prized land of Egypt. He had given them the land of Goshen, which is the far north land of Egypt, the fertile land to raise his and also the Hebrews' livestock. Therefore, these individuals settled down into Egypt instead of returning to that promised land that God had told them that he would give to them, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And over the next 430 years, future pharaohs forgot about this prolific Hebrew and what he had done for all the nation of Egypt. And out of fear of uprising, out of fear of being taken over by these blessed people, these Egyptians decided to enslave these Israelites. As a result, they made them slaves to work on building projects around the mighty Egyptian empire. Under the pain and agony, these people cry out to God to deliver them. And God came to them. God came to the Israelites. God would make a way to deliver or exodus these Israelites out of Egypt. God would use a Hebrew man named Moses, 10 plagues, the blood of an unblemished lamb, and a memorial mill to bring freedom to these Israelites and bring them out on their own Exodus journey. In this Exodus journey of 40 years, despite their desire to go their own ways and their own directions, God continually brought them back to His way over and over again. God came and worked numerous miracles in their lives. God provided a miraculous Red Sea crossing where they were able to walk across dry land. Meanwhile, Pharaoh's army was destroyed. They were led by a pillar of fire during the night and a pillar of cloud during the day. And they were continuously being refreshed. Even though they loathed the food, they were refreshed with manna, bread from heaven, and water from a rock that followed them. God's way took these Hebrews back again to that promised land. So why? Why would God's way take these Hebrews out of this choice land of Egypt? Why would He do this? To answer this question, this leads us to our second Exodus. And now moves us on to this one that talks about God's way out of Jerusalem. Over the next 1,300 years, these Hebrews had gone in and out of God's way over and over again. They found themselves constantly disobeying the commands of God. They were sinners. Therefore, they found themselves under the power of foreign rulers, just like their ancestors did in Egypt. Despite all these things, God comes to them. God provides one of their offsprings the way out of Jerusalem. God provided an individual that would give them a way out of their own sin. God would do it through an individual, which we heard about in today's gospel reading, the one named Jesus and His Exodus. So who was this Jesus? What significance did this individual's Exodus hold? It's fascinating. Today's gospel reading, readers and hearers of it are hinted at about Jesus' way out, known as the Jesus Transfiguration. Today's gospel writer is named Luke. For those who do not know it, his namesake is publicized all over this valley. That's where we get the St. Luke Hospital name from, because he was known as a doctor. And one thing about Luke's gospel, he's very meticulous about things going on, like a good doctor should be. So he gives us more detail about the transfiguration than the other gospel accounts. We hear this in particular at the top of the mountain. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke about His departure, literally in the Greek, about His Exodus, which He was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Unlike other accounts, we learn about these two men, yes, but we hear that they are talking, yes, but this account tells us they are talking about Jesus' way out, Jesus' departure, Jesus' exodus. This discussion of these two is followed quickly by Luke's recording of God's word, where we hear God speaking about this one who is Jesus. "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." In this account, we learn that Jesus is not just merely a man, but Jesus is the Son of God, the God that goes out of Jerusalem. So why does this exodus, this departure out of Jerusalem of this God-man, Jesus, matter at all? It is because Jesus had his way out of Jerusalem, which was through his crucifixion on that cross, that all these Hebrews' sins were paid in full. And therefore, when they depart out of this life in death, those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life with God forever. God gave these Hebrews a way out of sin and eternal death. Now, what does this mean for us? This leads us to our third and final exodus of this morning, God's way out of our sinful life. We all are on an exodus. We all on our exodus. We all go out of God's ways continuously throughout our lives. We are like those Hebrews of old. We want to go about our lives our own way. We want to be our own GPS devices. We want to be the gods and the goddesses of our lives, listening to our desires and our lusts and following them instead of the things of God. We mistreat our neighbors, even those who are the closest to us, just like those Hebrew patriarchs did to Joseph, who they made a slave. Our sinfulness makes us enslaved to the things greater than that of Pharaoh and some mighty ruler. For we all are enslaved to sin, death, and the devil. As a result, we sinners are all on our way out of this life. Some of us sooner, some of us later. We will all depart from this life. So is there any hope? Is there any exodus that can deliver us from our own departure? Listen to what Jesus has to say, just like the Father told us to listen to. Directly after this story of the Transfiguration, Jesus performs a miracle, and then he speaks this word. He speaks this word to his disciples and to you. He says, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." Those are the words that Jesus speaks. Those are the words that the Father wants you to hear. Why does Jesus say these words? Jesus wanted his disciples. He wants you to hear, to know that he, Jesus, is the one who is the Son of God, the God-man, who takes you out, and exits you out of this sinful, dying, devil-ridden world that you live in. This Son of God, this chosen one who led the Hebrews to the promised land was crucified outside of Jerusalem for your sins have been paid in full. You are now forgiven, just like the children of Israel. He takes you out of this broken world to himself, along with Moses and Elijah and all those believers that have gone before us in the past, even with Shirley, who passed away yesterday. He joins us with them to join with him for all eternity. And that, my brothers and sisters, that, my friends, is God's way out. For Jesus says, and he is, the way, the truth, and the life. The only way back to the Father. Amen.